And now, in conversation with the boyhood heroes who became his broadcasting colleagues, this is My Radio 1 with Sean
Tilley. From its launch in 1967, right through the 70s to the mid-80s, BBC Radio 1 was probably the world's biggest music station. In this series, I'm introducing you to many of the people behind the network's success during those golden years, as they each tell the story of their Radio 1. Now, it's always good to welcome a friend, and we've got a really big build-up for this one.
Sean Tilley, remember Keith Jensen.
Oh, and here he is.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
It is lovely.
You forgot about me.
Oh, you must be. There's no chance of that. You know, we're saving the best. Well, we're not quite last, but we're saving the best for the middle kid. What can I tell you? Obviously, we go back a very long way. A lot of stuff that we've talked about many times privately, but here at long last, your Radio 1. And I suppose, unlike one or two other people that joined the network, you were already a huge national name due to being for many years on Radio Luxembourg, but also having a television career on ITV. So I suppose it was almost inevitable that you would end up at Radio 1.
It's true today that you've got a bigger chance of doing TV if that's your aim. If you've got radio behind you and vice versa, if you've got TV behind you, radio will be interested in you. They feed off each other really well, I think.
This has been 208 International News from the Daily Mirror News Desk. This Monday morning, March the 8th. More news at 2 o'clock. It's 4 minutes past 1 and back to music here on Dimensions featuring the 208 Hot Heavy 20. This is Wishbone Ash.
Radio 1 to me was not a station I was that familiar with apart from its legacy, apart from it, the, you know, what it did, its importance, the power it had. And we were kind of like the upstarts broadcasting in the evening, and Radio 1 initially was just daytime, and then they moved to evenings as well. But it was an important station. And funnily enough, Doreen Davies and her husband, Derek Mills, who was with Radio 2, came to visit me in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg quite a few years ago now. And she was very interested in me coming to Radio 1 at some point, but she felt it was important that I try and get a job maybe with one of the local commercial stations in Britain. She said, and she made the comment that, you know, you're becoming a well-known name, but you actually have never lived in the area that you're broadcasting to. And that it was important to her that I get some time living in the UK. So I found an occupation in Nottingham, Radio Trent, and I stayed there for a couple of years before, almost to the day and an hour, I got a call from Derek Chinnery, who was then the controller of Radio 1, offering me a position because Emperor Roscoe, who was doing Saturday mornings, went to America. That meant that they were looking for somebody, and here I was.
A lot of music to get through, and a welcome to Kid Jensen making his debut performance.
That's right. Hi, nice to be with you again. We've been together before, though.
Yes, you have. You did it to me up north. Anyway, this is your virginal appearance, and I do hope that your angelic vibrations will carry you through.
Thank you. That's where I'm wearing my Radio 1 t-shirt today.
Meet the tallest man in broadcasting, Simon Bates.
Hello,
Kid.
Here.
Meet Simon.
Hello, Kid. Actually, I looked after his stomach on Sunday, so he should know me pretty well.
Very excited and very happy, and didn't really think that the contract was, because this was the case, the contracts were only about 6 months, 3 months in some cases. And so I was gambling everything, but not really realizing it. The excitement of joining was more important than anything else.
Well, Kid, as you're going to taking over as of after tomorrow, I think we'll start putting you to work and teach you how we do things. Hang on, clear your throat. Here's your first one, baby.
Drivers in South Devon, please take heed. Although a drought is plaguing much of the southwest of England and Wales, heavy rain is now falling in South Devon, and this is making driving hazardous on the A38 between Plymouth and Exeter, and also on the M5 motorway between Exeter and Somerset. Heavy spray is reducing visibility, and drivers are urged to reduce speed, switch on their headlights, and leave plenty of space between them and the vehicles in front. That's heavy rain making driving dangerous on the A38 and M5 in Devon.
How'd I do? Why don't you introduce the next record, then? You did so well on that one there.
All right, let's try it on. This is a new single from Exile.
I just had so much confidence. I just thought, this is it. I'm going to enjoy this. This is a ride I can't wait to get on. And obviously, they liked what they were hearing from me on Saturday mornings. And it wasn't long before they offered me the series on a regular basis.
Yeah, and Mike Hawkes was your producer in those days.
Yeah, Mike was a good guy. We had similar tastes in music. And he was, pioneering in the sense the bands that he was championing, and even though I had a free choice in music, I respected the stuff that he liked. So it was a combination of the music that was around, which was punk to funk.
Sneak preview there of the Stranglers' forthcoming 45. Something Better Change.
Making their debut on this week's Top of the Pops. Here's the jam and an effervescent U45 called In the City.
I'm going to be throwing a load of dates your way. Here's the first one. The 18th of November, 1976. It was a Thursday night, and it was the first time you ever hosted Top of the Pops. You would become one of the most regular faces on the programme during the second half of the 70s and the first half of the 1980s. I suppose, having just joined the network, it was the natural progression, wasn't it? And you had all this television experience, albeit on ITV, fronting shows like 45 and Pop Quest.
Top of the Pops was a big thing. I never took it for granted that I'd do it, but it was a nice thing that to be offered, because I used to think getting exposure on television, in which I can, you know, say which sessions I was doing and who's guesting on my show on Radio 1. Funnily enough, it is respected and revered more these days, in retrospect, to the days when the music press were always attacking it for lack of credibility and because the charts don't really reflect what the audience wants to hear and see. And that I would take great issue with, because Top of the Pops was for the whole family, and it was a regular Thursday meeting point. You know, homes up and down the country had their tea and then got into pole position to watch who was going to make number one.
Absolutely, and the audience figures were just enormous in those days, weren't they? Yeah. Another date to remember. Shall I keep them coming?
Yeah, keep them coming.
22nd, Monday, I should say. Monday, the 22nd of August, 1977. The venue was Caswell Bay, the Gower, down in my neck of the woods, South Wales, Mush. It was your first ever Radio 1 roadshow.
Goodness me. Yeah. Those roadshows, they were something else. They were fantastic. I mean, now you couldn't get away with just people coming along to see a guy sitting in the stand playing records, but that, in essence, is what we were doing. It was a great way of getting feedback from the Radio 1 listeners, and we used to do autograph signing sessions at the end of the roadshow, and that would keep you behind the crew trucks and things for quite some time.
Goodie Mobile, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Talking to the Radio 1 fans that were there and getting a real sense of audience. And those road shows were welcome, too, because you knew that you were... It was like if the Radio 1 calendar had your picture in for December, that meant that you were going to be on air until December anyway. And the road shows were always a seal of approval, I always used to think.
The Radio 1 Road Show.
Next week, the Radio 1 Road Show starts its 10th anniversary tour in Northern Ireland. Tuesday, it's in Port Rush. Wednesday, Carrickfergus. Thursday, Bangor. And Friday, Newcastle County Down with DJ David Jensen. So look out for the posters in your town.
I've got some lovely memories of Northern Ireland. The people are incredibly nice to me and very hospitable, very generous with their time. I was there more than the other Radio 1 DJs because in the security forces were less concerned with me because I wasn't British. And I think the DJs, you know, who grew up in Britain and were known as British DJs, would have to get some talk to the BBC in Northern Ireland to advise them whether it would be safe to go and do this area or that area, whereby I was lucky enough to just to go, and the promoter, as a matter of courtesy, would let the BBC know where I was on any particular night, because this was the time of the Troubles, and they were troubling times. And that makes it even more beautiful when you think of the people that had to live like that day in, day out, being on their guard, and the fact that they were so welcoming and not worried, and I was never approached about my political views or anything like that. It was just there to have fun and be with the music, and you know, I think they were glad of somebody from Radio 1 at least making an appearance there, so it was me.
As 1977 became 78, you became the new host of a Radio 1 programme that you seemed destined to do. I mean, your name was a bit of a giveaway. What are your memories of Quiz Kid?
Well, Quiz Kid, I have fond memories of doing that up and down the country to universities and colleges and high schools. And I missed it when they finally brought the hammer down on it.
Hi there, this is The Kid. And in case you don't remember, that's the signature tune of Radio 1's Quiz Kid competition. We're setting up the 1979 series, so if you'd like to have a go, listen in next week with pencil and paper, starting at 8 a.m. next Monday. By the way, you have to be under 18 on January 1st. So if you qualify, listen in on Monday. And I'll see you then.
Radio 1.
One of the fun things we did to commemorate the moving of 247 to 275 and 285 was a studio session which was orchestrated by Dave Bartram, the lead singer of Shawadi Wadi, and the DJs actually made a single, which didn't advance our case for musical credibility much in the aftermath, and we went out as with a pseudonym.
Yeah, Jock Swan in the Meters. Yeah.
How could you possibly forget that?
Should we have a little listen to it?
Come on,
we've got to. You've bigged it up so much now. Here it comes. You were finally given your own daily slot, tea times.
Yeah, tea time. It sounds
17th of April, 1978.
It sounds so tame. Welcome, Radio 1, tea time.
Yeah, but what a show, kid. There were Dave Tate was your producer.
Yeah, lovely guy. He was Noel Edmonds' breakfast producer during Noel's heyday, and I guess during my big times at Radio 1, he was there for me, so it was good working with him.
Monday, kids' mailbag. Tuesday, the featured interview and the new top 30. Wednesday, staying alive and girl talk. Thursday, meet a sportsman and the new album chart. Friday, the round table with star guests reviewing the latest releases. All tucked into a bed of the finest music around. Kid Jensen, the complete program. Monday to Friday at 4:30 on Radio 1.
And there were some memorable features in that program for anybody rushing home from school or jumping in the car after work, such as the rundowns of the new singles and album charts, girl talk, the chance to meet a sportsman. You couldn't say that now, could you? You'd have to be a sports star now. Kids' mailbag.
I had forgotten all these programs.
Yeah.
So you did that
with Sue Cooke for a while, and Annie Nightingale joined you on it as
Alison Rice.
Yeah, Alison Rice was doing Girl Talk, and she also did, along with Dr. Alan Marion Davis, Staying Alive.
That's right. That was the Dave Tate having being his bonnet about perhaps getting more meaningful chat on the program and doing something that hadn't been done before in that sort of way. And so he asked me if I'd be interested, and I was really interested, and I love doing interviews with not just the great and good, but people that are worth hearing.
Alison, what have you got on the menu for next week?
Well, I thought I'd have a look at tipping, as I got very cross as I treated myself to a cab fare today, you know, riding taxi, and the man was very, very rude when I didn't give him a tip. I don't tip the bus driver, do I? I don't tip the train driver. I didn't see why I should tip the cab driver. I want to talk about that next week.
maybe we should get a cab driver in to give his views on that. Alan?
Well, I'm going to talk about your medicine chest, what you should have in your medicine chest at home, the sorts of things you'll be needing, and how to keep your medicines safely, how to use them properly.
Great. All right. See you both next week. That's next Monday, of course, at 7 o'clock. Staying Alive was produced by Dave Tate.
My thanks to the Pride of Paul. Have a good weekend, Tony. This is the Kid. Good afternoon to you on the best day of the week. And to celebrate that at 5 o'clock, it's What's On This Weekend, another new feature on the Kid Jensen program. In fact, the Kid Jensen program is a bit of a new feature to Radio 1, too. 6 o'clock, the return of Round Table. Right now, it's the Jacksons getting things underway with music taking over.
Another part of the Tea Time show on a Friday was the return, because it had been off for a while, of Round Table. And isn't it funny how this show has resurfaced just recently? The one that you did in February 1979 with George Harrison and Michael Jackson. I mean, you were talking to the great and the amazing from the music world each and every week, but they don't come much bigger than those two.
No, that was quite a special day, the Friday, because Roundtable was live on a Friday. What a day for Radio 1. The fans for George Harrison and Michael Jackson came out in their hundreds, and that place just outside Radio 1, the entrance to the BBC in Portland Place, was just full of fans of both of them.
Michael Jackson, welcome for the first time to the round table.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I saw you, of course, on Top of the Pops last night. I was with you on Top of the Pops last night. You're in the midst of a big world tour now, right?
That's true. We're doing a lot of different dates in Switzerland and Paris.
How far into the tour are you?
We just started, actually. We're 2 weeks into it.
And you're all geared up. You got to pace yourself or something like that, I would imagine.
Yes, we've been so busy. Yeah, rehearsal today.
I'm going to find out about some of the things that you've been doing. I'm glad you were able to make it along to the program. And in terms of global popularity, I suppose the Jacksons are only eclipsed by my next guest's old band, George Harrison, welcome.
Good evening, kid. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. And you've had a busy time, too, because you've just flown in from...
Rio by the sea, Bialystok and Leo.
Were you doing anything musical down in Rio, or was it...
I sort of used the excuse of going to see the Brazilian Grand Prix to have a look at Brazil, or a part of Brazil, because I've never been to South America before. In fact, none of the Fab Four have ever been there, which I found out when I arrived, because it's a bit of mania down there. But it's a wonderful place.
It must have been a thrill presenting that show every week. When, roughly, would you be told who the guests were going to be that Friday?
We used to know a week in advance of who would come, who'd be coming in. Often it was artists who had records to sell, to put it in its crudest, but it was a great vehicle for people to play their music. Even if the panel didn't really think their songs had much merit or further study, it was still good to have some airplay and some comment, better than no airplay and no comment.
And it's an all-American panel on Roundtable tonight. I would like to firstly welcome to the Roundtable an old friend of mine, Russell Mayle from Sparks.
Hello, kid.
Hi there. We've known each other through many different studios and TV circumstances.
Whiskey a Go-Go's in Los Angeles.
That's right. That's when I first saw you many years ago, and that was before you really made it over here with This Town Ain't Big Enough for Both of Us.
Yeah, right, before we moved to England, yeah.
Are you back here for good now, or is it just a short stay?
Well, we're going to be spending a lot more time in Britain. We still live in Los Angeles, but... we're having thoughts of coming back. Things are going really well, so you know, it's anything to avoid the jet lag.
Listen, you found success here, and you've got a very active fan club, which will be very happy to hear that, because they always let me know what's happening with you, even during that, 4-year period that you went back home. More about that later, but now it's a big welcome return to one of the real characters of British radio, Roscoe.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to sit here at this round table and kind of pick up the vibes again, and I also wanted to say to you that I had done a round table once before with Ron and Russell.
Well, together with BBC TV's Nationwide program, Radio 1 would stage the British Rock and Pop Awards each and every year, which of course morphed into the Brits. Mm-hmm. This was the biggest deal, and you were co-hosting it. What an honour that was.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was absolutely fantastic. It's something I embraced and did as good a job as I could do, and I didn't get lambasted too badly by the press, so I was okay with that.
No, thanks also to all the people in the pop music and recording industries for all the entertainment and pleasure they've given us over the past few months. So it's good night to Radio 1 listeners.
And good night to BBC 1 viewers.
Good night.
Good night.
And then in the autumn of 1979, there were your historic and unique broadcasts from the North Sea.
We were on an oil production platform, the Occidental production platform, 300 miles off the coast of Aberdeen.
A Kid Jensen special. That's right. On Monday and Tuesday, I'll be presenting my program at the later time of 5:45, direct from the heart of Britain's search for North Sea oil. On Monday, I'll be taking a close look at the workings of the Claymore oil rig, some 130 miles offshore, meeting the men who bring the oil from the seabed and finding out what life's like in the isolation of the North Sea. Tuesday, we move further north to the Orkneys, where on the island of Flotta, a huge oil handling terminal receives the oil from the undersea pipeline, which connects to the Claymore platform. It'll be an adventure I hope you'll share with me. That's this Monday and Tuesday at 5:45. It's National.
I enjoyed what was going on behind the scene as well. I mean, they had groups of people on that oil production platform. They had a group of Rhodesians who were doing diving, some Canadian team there. They were doing something else. There was a British team doing something else. And they were all working in pockets round the clock. And I used to enjoy going in. I was there just a couple of days, but I used to enjoy going into the canteen, which was full of the rich food that you can imagine to keep the energy levels high on the oil production workers.
Yeah.
And the food was great, and the banter was great as well. And they were making some money then.
The lovely thing is, kid, only the BBC, only Radio 1 could do those kind of programs, couldn't it?
Yeah.
And do them so well.
Yeah, and again, that's screwed down to great production. Wherever I've worked at Radio 1, I would have a good team behind me, and it was a case of being on holiday with your chums sometimes, doing these road shows from oil rigs and what have you.
Particularly the weeks out as well, where you go tearing off around the country.
Were you absolutely...
You were all on a coach together, weren't you? Like a football team.
Well, we used to have these football games, Radio 1 versus a local community, and or local football team with the recently retired players who are a million miles still better than any of us. So it was really quite tiring the rest of the week, having done that with no fitness. So it was always the same for all of us.
Guten Abend, meine Damen und Herren. Please excuse my English, but I want to tell you that you're listening to the Kid Jensen Emission from the studios of WDR Cologne.
Who is that madman? He's been following us everywhere. Good afternoon from Studio 8 of the WDR service here in the cathedral town of Cologne. Guten Tag, mein Freunds. How's that? I've been practicing today. Last night after the program at Hilversum, we left about half an hour after the show. We were pretty tired, I can tell you that, but we needed to get off straight away, mainly because we expected the drive to Cologne to be about 2.5 hours long. Actually, it ended up being about 4.5 hours long. And I can tell you that we were not without adventure on this particular trip. I can assure you, first of all, we ran into thick fog, and of course, we heard all about the fog that was happening in the southeast of England as well. Well, there's a bit of that up in the north of Germany. And then after about 2 hours of driving, we discovered we'd taken a wrong Autobahn, and we were heading back to Brussels, not Cologne. So after a bit of argument, you can imagine the scene, everybody in our car with maps everywhere pointing at places. No, you're going the wrong way, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, we were all scrutinizing. We actually ended up on the right road. We drove for about another hour, and then we had a flat tire.
It wasn't long after vacating the Claymore platform that in November 1979 you also took the program to Paris, Brussels, Hilversum, Cologne and Munich.
Don't mention it. I was in Munich. We did some European capitals, but yeah, that was great fun traveling around Europe and doing the programs from Munich, for example, because that was a particularly special one because it was such a beautiful place and the people are so very friendly.
My name is Paul Gambaccini, and if you've been following the radio times, you know that I was scheduled to do this program in place of the holidaying Kid Jensen. But if you've been following the newspapers, you know that things have changed a bit. And it's not a holiday. It's a new career for Kid in the United States. And so I thought that for the first hour of today's program, we'll turn it back to the Kid and let him do what he would like in his last program on Radio 1. Hi, Kid.
Paul, thank you very much for that. And it's my last show. God, what a day I've had. It's been a really emotional day. I didn't realize I had so many friends around here. And it'll be the last time that Kid Jensen takes to the airwaves as well.
That's right, because you will revert to your real name after this.
That's right. What is it again? I've forgotten.
It's David Allen?
Horatio?
Yes, that's right. Cod Jensen?
Algernon? David Allen Jensen reigns from next week, but for now it's Kid Jensen with the Four Seasons. Who loves you? I feel love.
In May 1980, it was an enormous shock when it was revealed that you were up and leaving Radio 1, but the reality was it was a television offer from America, which I guess was just simply too good to turn down, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's right. And I really enjoyed my time in America. It was good fun. It was seeing a different way of doing TV and making radio happen, because I was doing some radio stuff on a radio station called WQXI, covering Dixie Like They Do. And something I enjoyed doing, but just stayed a couple of years before coming back.
Just a big final thank you to all of you who've been listening to me and who've sent letters of constructive criticism and sometimes, occasionally and pleasingly, of some degree of praise. Thank you very much for your letters. I'm off on Sunday for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to come back to the UK and do a couple of gigs, and then I, at the beginning of July, will be over in Atlanta, Georgia. Well, for good, I suppose. Oh, dear. Paul Gambaccini's here. I know that you're in a rush to get down to Studio B12 down in the basement, so...
That's right, because we're going to be doing the Radio 1 Roundtable with Frankie Valli, Elton John, and yourself as the guest. You get to comment on the records today.
That's right. Let me now just really indulge myself by playing my all-time favorite piece of music as my final record on Radio 1. It's the Beach Boys and Surf's Up.
So when you did come back to Radio 1, it was a nighttime show. It was 8 till 10. It was the 5th of October, 1981. And you were together on air. I mean, obviously, you'd worked together for the time that you had been at Radio 1 between 76 and 80 with John Peel. But now you were thrown together every night, and also with John Walters, too.
Yeah, what a great character. Big Crystal Palace fan. Together with the editor-in-chief of those evening programs, Teddy Warwick, also a Palace fan. But he was a brilliant guy to work for. I mean, I've been lucky to work with some of the best in the industry, some very, very funny, entertaining people like Paul Burnett, like Paul Gambaccini, John Peel, absolutely. Kenny Everett, of course. I've been lucky in my career to be paired up with these people, because I wasn't just a listener, I was a fan as well of these people.
I know you thought that way of Alan Freeman as well.
Yeah, of course.
But you and Peel, it was more than just a professional relationship. The the genuine fondness, the love that you had for each other, it really came through on the air as well, and particularly when you started hosting Top of the Pops together.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was a good fun. I don't know whose idea it was to dress up in different themed clothing for each Top of the Pops. We were sometimes Robin Hood and his Merry Man. We were gladiators. We had all sorts of funny, silly little things that the audience didn't seem too irked by, so we just kept going.
And he'd have a jumper on saying David Jensen, and you'd be wearing a John Peel jumper.
He got those made as a funny thing.
How much thought would go into that? Did you talk very much about what you were going to do on that week's show, or did you literally just do it off the hip?
We would do it off the hip.
These causes are his idea.
He's only sulking because he wanted to be made merry. And let's kick off with musical youth, shall we?
When I think of John Peel, one of the images I think of is this fellow, this bearded fellow from Merseyside, lying on the floor outside the studio, crying with joy because his beloved team, Liverpool, had just won the European Cup. And he came in to me and he said, "Kid," he always called me kid because he said, "If it's good enough for your wife, it's good enough for me." And he walked in the studio and he said, "You're going to have to start the show. I can't go on." And I knew something was up, because normally he would come and sit and have an Indian meal or sit and chat for the last hour of my show, and I would sit and would behind and talk to him, not on air, just stuff. And the fact that he hadn't turned up, I thought to myself, well, he'll be in the racks room or some other area where technicians will be watching the feed from the football game that Liverpool were in. And he was so struck with joy that he ended up in a heap on the floor. He was actually very teary-eyed. So when I think of Peely, I think of that, someone who is nakedly emotive and not afraid for people to discover, you know, what he was like, or because all you had to do was turn on the radio, and he was that person. He wasn't, you know, it wasn't an act. Once I said to him, we were talking about DJs, and which we always ended up talking about DJs and radio programs, and I made the comment, I said, I would listen to you for you as opposed to some of the music that you play, which was pretty eclectic stuff. And he said, no, I don't want people to listen because of me. I want them to listen to the music. And he actually wasn't being falsely modest.
Prefab Sprout, the devil has all the best tunes. That's just out on Kitchenware Records. And I think they're going to be big, big, big next year. Mind you, everybody's big, big, big after a glass of Beaujolais Nouveau. Okay, what's happening chart-wise, big boy?
Well, it looks this away, Sunbeam. It's number 37. It's the appalling Yes have gone in at with Owner of a Lonely Heart.
That evening show as well, you were able to provide a platform for emerging bands and artists. I mean, the list is, we could go on and on, but off the top of my head, the likes of Talk.
Sadly, Mark Hollis died recently.
Yeah, he did, which was terrible news, wasn't it? Because still so young, of course. The Associates, Haircut 100, Culture Club.
Prefab Sprout. Prefab Sprout's an interesting one, because we were at Whitley Bay for the Radio 1 Roadshow, and after the roadshow, I was talking to you about just signing autographs, and these four guys and a girl came up to me. I say guys, they were real boys. I mean, they were in their teens, and they had this little demo 45 that they gave me in the hope that I would listen to it, and if I listened to it, that you could contact them by calling this number. And before I got a chance to call them, Muff Winwood at CBS, who is the head of A&R and Stevie Winwood's brother, called me up and said, "Who was that band that you had on last night in session?" Because I liked so much the demo they had given me in Whitley Bay, their hometown, that I started playing it on the radio, and they got some great feedback, and so we did a session for them, and they were still unsigned, and Muff Winwood said, "I really like that band. How can I get in touch with them?" So I gave him the details, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Aztec Camera, Yazoo, Frankie Goes to Hollywood. What about the Smiths? In fact, we've got a great archive clip here. This is you talking to Morrissey, slap bang in those early days.
Heaven 17 and Come Live With Me. And in London to chat on the program tonight is Morrissey, who's the lead singer of the Smiths. Hello, Morrissey.
Hello.
And welcome. You've come down from Manchester just for this. That's terrific. The first thing we've got to do, I guess, is establish for people who may not know anything about you, which is, I guess, quite a few people outside Manchester, how you came to be in a band called The Smiths. Are you a founder member of the quartet?
Yes, I am. I was discovered, if you like, by Johnny, the guitarist. He just came and unearthed me one day and insisted that we collaborate, and The Smiths emerged immediately, and we planned a strategy, and everything's worked, and here we are.
Yeah, what about that? Morrissey and The Smiths.
I love them. I love them so much. They were, to me, the way, lyrically, a bit like the latter-day Kinks, because the Kinks dealt with social issues, Sunday Afternoon, and all the songs that they had that were famous. And the Smiths, like the Kinks, had something to say, but also had something to play, because they were, their songs are memorable. David Jensen.
There was also Studio B15 on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that was a talk show based on, they had confidence to ask me to do that one based on my news and current affairs that I'd been doing in America for a couple of years in Atlanta for CNN.
Hello, Studio B15, can I help you?
275-285, Studio B15. And once again, good afternoon. David Jensen here with another edition of Studio B15, the show where you suggest what goes on. And coming up between now and 4 o'clock, we hope to be joined by Emu and Rod Hull. The Beat give us a sneak preview of their new album. We visit a home with a difference for young offenders. And what to do if your exam results aren't all you were hoping for.
275 and 285. Cool, blimey, what a corker.
And who was that mystery jingle singer? Stay tuned to find out.
B15. It was a good show to do. It was very different from other shows I had done. I would be getting instructions down the line through my earpiece as to a good follow-up question would be this, and constantly in touch with the gallery.
Usually at this time it's B15, but today David Jensen presents the Radio 1 Roadshow live from our fun day at Thorpe Park. Where is he?
Not only on the air, but in the air. B-15 might not be on the air, but I'm still risking life and limb. I'm about 500 feet above Thorpe Park in what is known as an amphibious flying boat. It's a single-engine plane. We took off from one of the many lakes in Thorpe Park, situated between, Staines and Chertsey. We're flying over the county of Surrey now, just above Thorpe Park, an enormous amusement park.
And it was a very different sort of show, but because I've always been a newsaholic, it's something that was really kind of right up my alley. Nighttime Radio
1 with David Jensen. And this evening on my Easter Monday program, I'll be joined by two very special guests. John Taylor and Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran will be with me around 8 o'clock to talk about the phenomenal worldwide success Duran Duran are enjoying and to talk about their future plans. In session, we have a new Scottish band called Sunset Gun, and three of the best comes from one of their greatest admirers, Elvis Costello. That's all happening tonight from 7 till 10.
There can't be that many people who've resigned from Radio 1 once, let alone twice, but you did so again in the summer of 1984. This time it was so that you could go and take up a daytime show at Capital and become the first presenter of the network chart show across the UK on commercial radio. But I know, before beginning this programme today, looking back at those two spells on the network, more than anything, it's the team spirit that you remember most fondly.
Very much a team. It was certainly that. We all had we were all in some ways in competition with each other, because you tend to be freelance if you're a presenter, and you do your best in the hope that you've got another contract to come. And I was lucky in so much that contract always did come for me when I was on Radio 1, and I have nothing but great memories and of a wonderful time and some great people.
And you can still be heard on BBC Radio in the South. But for now, kids, thank you so much for sharing your Radio 1 with us.
Sean, it's great. You're sharing my Radio 1 with me, because you just have all the facts and figures.
Research, that's what it's called. The internet is a wonderful thing, isn't it?